Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is John Elmore, and I have a new life in Christ. I'm recovering from alcoholism, pride, and what my wife told me as recent as yesterday, a critical spirit.
Hey, John.
Why am I smiling when I say that? It's because I looked over at Laura. She's here tonight. Thank you for helping me. So, Tim, we've been doing a topical teaching series over the last year. About quarterly, we'll do a topical teaching on various subjects that people are facing. And so we've done one in the past on substance abuse, sexual addiction, pride. Tonight, we're going to continue that topical study, and we're going to address the topic of homosexuality. And so as we go into that, clearly our country, globally, culture, the church, is falling out and landing in different places on homosexuality. And so we feel that it's important as a church to speak into that. And that's not always historically been done well. And so we want to have just a good, open conversation tonight. And for those of you in the audience that this is a part of your story, homosexuality, if you're here tonight, and even as I say those words, your heart sinks. And I just want you to know, foremost, that this is a safe place for you. You are loved here. There is no condemnation. There is no shame, but simply welcome, and there is hope in Jesus Christ, our Lord, and that hope will flood into your life along with healing as we sang about tonight. So if this is a part of your story, welcome here. And then I would say to the rest of you, if this is not a part of your story, odds are, over the course of your life, currently or in the future, it will be because of who God will cross your path with, even in your family, your coworkers, roommates, neighbors. But odds are, throughout life, you're going to encounter someone, whether in passing or in a deeper relationship, that is identifying as a homosexual or struggling with that. And so this is going to prepare you to engage in a conversation that will lead them to hope and healing in Christ. And then additionally tonight, if you're listening, I hope you're listening. If you're listening, I want you to be able to plug in whatever struggle it is that you're dealing with, whatever brought you through the doors tonight. And so just because we're talking about homosexuality tonight, the principles that we'll address apply to any struggle because God's word speaks into each one of those. So with that, we're going to begin, and I want to introduce to you next my friend and brother and a leader here within Regeneration and the church. Please welcome Wes Chick.
Thanks. Hey there. Can you tell my story?
You give your regen intro.
So my name is Wes Chick, and I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from pride, addiction to pornography, and homosexuality.
Man, they didn't applaud for me the way they applauded for you. So. I don't know what that's about, but now I struggle with insecurity as well. Wes, I was wondering, but that's a different topical teaching. Wes's full story, his full testimony is online. You can access that on regenerationrecovery.org. It's August 22nd on watermark.org. You can access that full, probably 25-minute testimony. But I ask if you would just share a couple of minutes in brief his story just to kind of frame this up for this evening.
So. Sure. So when I was young, we left my dad when I was 4 years old. My mom remarried my stepdad, and I never connected with my stepfather at that point. But I did come to know Christ at an early age when I was 12 through a friend of mine going to his church. But it wasn't soon after that that I had been introduced to pornography through one of the church leaders where I was attending. And that pornography intro turned into touching, turned into sex, and then turned into sex with his friends. That lasted over a 4 or 5 year period throughout high school. And so my whole life, I had really dove into my Christian life as a kid, but yet now I was living a double life. I had this one life that I was being the perfect kid on the outside, everybody saw that, and then I was delving into this lifestyle on the side. I got all the way through college living this double life, and I finally decided after the struggle and after the just feeling like I was exhausted from trying to do that, I dove headfirst into the gay lifestyle. I shortly met somebody who became my partner for 22 years. I had everything in life. I had a relationship. I had friends. I had money. I had trips. I had anything the world really thought would make me happy. but unfortunately, none of it did. I was found. I was hopeless. I had no purpose in life. And finally, at one point, when I came to the end of myself one day, I finally just turned to God and said, "I need you, and I need a savior." And when I finally came to the end of myself, it admitted that I needed something bigger than what I could do, and that I was hopeless. God put it into gear to get me back down to Dallas. I walked in the doors of Regen literally 2 years ago, next week, and started being introduced to a God that I knew as a child, but never really known that well. And I was surrounded by a group of men who led me to truth and really helped me build my relationship with Christ.
Amen. Less than 2 years ago, walked in these doors. So wherever you are right now, know that God is able to do great things. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the words that Wes just shared, the story that you have written into his life, and pray that for every single person here, the redemption and hope of Jesus Christ, no matter what their struggle, Lord, that you would make all things new. We thank you for Jesus and for the Spirit. We pray now that you would use this time for your kingdom, for your glory, by your power. Amen.
Amen.
So y'all, tonight we're going to cover three lies to dispel and three truths to tell. And these will be based primarily from a scripture that we're going to read that I'm going to read for us tonight from 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. So let me take us through that now. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, were, past tense. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You see in that passage, we see that homosexuality is a sin, but it is listed among a dozen others, of which probably five or six, I would say, that I identified with in the past. But those no longer are our identity. It says were in that passage again and again. It's who you were, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified, made righteous before God by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Spirit. And so, as we talk about this struggle of homosexuality tonight, know that in Christ, along with all those other sins, that is not our identity any longer if we are in Christ. That's why we use the Regen intro the way we do. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from this. Our identity is in Jesus. So, three lies to dispel. The first one that we're going to walk through is God hates gay people and they aren't welcome at or in church. That's a lie to dispel. Wes, did you ever experience this, feel this way, hear this?
Sure. I had the Holy Spirit locked inside of me at the age of 12. And so I felt this urging always to come in and out of churches. And I'd go in and out of churches during that whole time I was deep into the lifestyle because I was really seeking something different. But what would happen was I would go in and get kind of active and then all of a sudden I would tell my story and then I kind of felt like I was being pushed away. And so I felt a real insecurity about even coming into Watermark at the time I did. And so, you know, I know I want to change, but I didn't know how. And so I was just seeking that anywhere I could. And I thought church would be where I would get it.
And so we want to say to anyone who's struggling with homosexuality or any struggle for that matter, this is the foremost place that you are welcome. And if that's not the case, if you're attending another church and you would say, well, I wouldn't say that that's true of my church. I'm not welcome there. Then I would say, then they are not welcome at that church either because they all have struggles of their own. The church should shut their doors. The church is the foremost place where anyone struggling with homosexuality is welcome because it is impossible to get free from a struggle with sin apart from Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and the people of God. This is the place of healing. As our senior pastor Todd says, this is an emergency room for the sick and broken to come and find healing. If they can't come here, where could anyone come who's struggling with the sin struggle? And furthermore, you can't get cleaned up before you come to Christ. Christ is the one who cleans us. Just in that verse that we just read, it says that he is the one that washes us. Paul writes to the Galatians and he says, look, did you receive the Spirit by obeying the law or by hearing and by faith? So it's simply that Christ is the one that brings the healing. We don't get cleaned up first. Amen. Wes, was that your experience? Yeah. Did you ever feel that way? Well, I have to get cleaned up and then come to Christ? Or how did that?
I walked in the door. I was hurting. I was in pain. Luke 5:31 says, Jesus answered them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I mean, when I walked in these doors, I was looking for healing. I needed to find healing wherever I could find it, and I found it here, you know. People must come to know Christ first, you know, like you said, before they can get cleaned up. None of us were clean before we came to know Christ, and gay people who don't know Christ or don't know Jesus don't need to leave homosexuality first. They can't. It's impossible. You have to come to know Christ.
That's huge what he just said, that gay people or those who identify as homosexual don't need to leave that first before they come to Christ. In fact, they can't. I know I had family members, friends, I knew the statistics. I had doctors tell me that I was dying and killing myself and hurting myself because of my alcoholism. I had no power over it. I knew everything. I knew that it was wrong. I had no power. Jesus had to do that work for me first. The second lie that we're going to address is you can't change. This is a lot that you're going to hear from in culture, from the world, from even psychology with homosexuality, is that you can't change. This is just inherently who you are. And I would say what I just said, that apart from Christ, that's true. You can't. We have no power over sin. Sin is a supernatural problem that demands a supernatural answer. And so Christ alone can bring that healing. And so you can't change. That's a lie to dispel because meet my friend Wes. Wes, did you just wake up, change one day or set your mind to it, or how did that come about?
Yeah, it's exactly how that happened, didn't it, Jim? No, it took a lot of work from a lot of people to help kind of get in the middle of my life as well and lead me to Christ. I mean, that was really what the bottom line is that, I mean, we're defined by our designer, not our desire. I'm made in his image. And so, you know, all the desires are not godly, you know. Yeah. And so we have these desires, but it doesn't mean that, that all of a sudden we choose those over our Savior. So we have to choose a Savior over our sin.
Yeah. And so you're standing here today as proof that you can change. And so talk a little bit about how that change came about.
Sure. Well, I mean, some of the things that I started doing were, I knew that I would have to change a lot of the patterns in my head. You know, there's a lot of thought patterns that you build up over time that feed your sin. And so what you have to do is you really have to starve your sin. And so I cut out TV altogether. I watched a little bit of sports, and even to this day, I don't watch TV. You can ask my roommates, they're here to attest to that. But then also I cut out, you know, changed my music. I changed a lot of the images that were coming into me that were feeding that sin and driving some of those desires that I had. Yep. And that was a huge difference. You know, in Romans 12:2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, so that by your testing you will know what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And so you have to focus on really actively trying to work at changing those patterns and changing your mind. You have to put work into it.
What, that was like you're preaching at me about the critical spirit thing. I don't know what that's up. I see,
Laura.
So you talk about...
She prompted me.
No TV, changing radio stations, things like that. We talk a lot about changing your playground, your playmates, and your pastimes, ways that you can remove some of those temptations or those avenues, those access points through which sin is coming into your life. Mm-hmm. But then you weren't just locked away in your room in solitude, in isolation. Like, there must have been other influences that were transforming.
Sure.
Talk about that a little bit.
Well, I mean, on the opposite of that is you have to learn who God is. So the only way to learn who God is to learn his language and to read his Bible, to read his law. You know, this is his language. This is how he speaks to us. And one of the things that I found was I had a lot of community around me, a lot of people, not only the program at Regen that led me to scriptural reading, but people that really led me to read my Bible, you know, from front to back, you know, and I'm still in the middle of that part of it. But New Testament's torn up in two different Bibles because I've really learned what his plans are for me, what his desire is for me, and what his will is for me through reading his word. I can sit down, not even understand, not even have a thought of like, I really want to sit down, but I can ask God, say, please reveal something to me today. And he does every time. And so that's how you grow closer and closer to Christ.
Absolutely. This is a book for a relationship with God and not a rule book
Absolutely.
To follow. The third lie to dispel, you can't be a Christian and struggle with homosexuality. You can't be a Christian and struggle with homosexuality. That's a lie to dispel. I would say this is a room full of, much in part, people who would identify as Christian and yet still struggle with whatever it is that brought you through these doors. If it weren't the case, it would be a 3-step program instead of a 12-step program. We would come to trust in Christ, submit our life and will to him, and then be like, well, I'm done. I'm sanctified. I guess I don't need to come back. And this room would be, it would be 3-step. But instead, I know for myself, identifying as a Christian, have surrendered my life and will to Christ. There are times when I'll literally ruminate and think like, you know what, there's a liquor store on that counter, on that corner, and I bet they're still open, and no one knows me there. I bet I could slip in and out, and all of a sudden I'm like, what am I thinking about? Why would I ever go back to that? Because I'm a Christian, and yet I still struggle with that. Some of my dearest friends in this church, brothers and leaders of this church, are Christians mm-hmm. that still struggle with homosexuality. It's common to man, and it's common to all of our struggles. So why would we put that yoke on someone else, our brothers and sisters who may struggle with homosexuality, when we ourselves are Christians and still struggling with our various passions and pleasures. Mm-hmm. Wes, anything you would add to that?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, I would used to portray myself as a Christian and justify my lifestyle at the same time because I said that I wasn't acting on my homosexuality.
So you would identify as both at
as
the same
both,
time.
As both, and wasn't acting on my homosexuality. But the problem was is that I had a horrible addiction to pornography. I was lusting after people, you know, men in my life, and I was still, you know, masturbating, lusting with other images and media and people I knew. Yeah. And so that's the same thing.
Right.
But then I would think that was nothing. That was totally separate from my homosexuality.
Yeah. And just because it didn't involve another person, but you were still acting out in different ways.
Absolutely.
So the lie to dispel there, you can't be a Christian and struggle with homosexuality. Clearly we can. We struggle with different things as we are this side of eternity and not at home
Absolutely.
With the Lord. The difference is when you choose stake in the ground, I am a Christian and I am gay and I'm going to pursue them both without a lack of step 6 repentance mm-hmm. That Wes has talked about.
And struggling, not calling it a sin.
Yeah.
You know, you hear a lot in culture today that homosexuality is not a sin, and there's all sorts of ways that they try to justify that. And that's a struggle right there.
Yeah.
I mean, just understanding first that it is a sin,
yeah.
and then being able to attack it.
Great. 3 truths to tell. The first one that we'll address, the truth to tell, I was born this way. It's a truth to tell, and it's what the gay community would say, is I was born this way. I've had this desire or longing since I was born. As long as I can remember, I was born this way. And the reason why it's a truth to tell is that that is exactly true. There's depravity of man. We were all born into sin. All of us have a fallen nature, sin that we need to be saved from. I see it in my 2-year-old boy. I did not have to teach him to hit or to lie, or to throw fits, or be disrespectful. He does it inherently. It just comes out of him because he is a little sinner. Cute as he may be, he is a little sinner. It's not cute in those moments. And then we just grow up to be big sinners with more dangerous sins,
yeah.
frankly.
Yeah.
So I was born this way. Man, I don't doubt that. A friend of ours says, you know, the world and the gay community would tell you, embrace who you are, to which he would say, man, I don't want anybody to embrace who they are. If we in this room began to embrace all of our desires and passions and lusts, this would not be a safe room, not just because of me. Y'all are sitting here too. No one should embrace who they are. Your passions and pleasures and lusts within you. We war against those by the Spirit.
Yeah.
Wes, did you hear people say that I was born this way?
Oh, sure.
And what did that mean, or in that community, well, that sense?
It's a fairly common, you know, term or phrase to use. But, you know, one of the commonalities that I'd always find, particularly within all my friends, is that, you know, this isn't necessarily defines becoming homosexual or what have you, but the fact that there was an absence of father figure, you know, that was predominant, woven throughout pretty much my entire community. And so either absence of a father figure, also coupled maybe with a strength, real strong motherly influence, there might be some sexual abuse wrapped in there as well.
Yeah.
Some sort of abuse. And so, you know, in my case, you know, that absence, that masculinity void, you know, was then later sexualized by my predator, you know, at the age of 12, 13. So
There's sin nature that we're all born with, and then there's different propensities and inclinations and desires. It just manifests in different ways for each one of us. But as Wes talks about his own history, the sociology, the structure, that gets covered and informed by a theology. So theology trumps then the sociology and the history. It's what do we believe about God, and how we need a Savior to rescue us from our sin. The second truth to tell: God gave me a desire to love and be loved. I sat with a friend over lunch recently who had identified as a homosexual, and he said, you know, I have this desire in life to love and be loved, and, you know, how could you or the world or a church want to deny me of that? And the reason why that's a truth to tell is because that is a God-given desire. As Wes said, we are created in His image to love and be loved. Acts 17 says that in Him, in God, we live and move and have our being. This is something that is hardwired into each one of us, a desire to love and be loved. And so I don't doubt that someone who identifies as homosexual would have that desire. Wes, you talked about being in a 22-year committed homosexual relationship. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, or not even quite two, it sounds like, that ended in the same year that the Supreme Court said that you could be married. Mm-hmm. Through that breakup and whatnot, do you feel more or less love, contentment, satisfaction now or then?
Now, absolutely.
And so how in the world, for the guy or gal sitting out there who is thinking, are you crazy, after 22 years of companionship, intimacy, sharing, experiencing, receiving, and giving love, that you would say now as a single Christ follower, you have more contentment, more love? How is that possible?
The only way I can explain it is like Christ putting His arms around me every single day. Sin does not satisfy. And I found that out. I found that every way, even despite the intimacy, despite the love and the connection, it still didn't matter. It never satisfied. I was always left hopeless and without purpose. And so I have a community of people around me who love me and support me and who urge me on and spur me on to, as it says in Hebrews, love and good works. And so we're constantly, you know, there with me, you know, in this walk.
We were created by God and for God. And so anytime we try to fill that void within our soul with the created rather than the Creator, it's going to leave us lacking and empty and more destructive on the way out. Now, I'm not going to argue with anyone who would say, yeah, but you don't understand the sex that we have, the intimacy that we have, the communication that we have, the love that we have, those are desirable. Those are enjoyable. Those are good things that I am find pleasure in. I won't argue with that. Like, all sin is pleasurable. It is enjoyable at some level. Otherwise, none of us would ever choose to do any of it. We would stay away from it. Mm. But there is a pleasurable, enjoyable aspect to it. And so just because there is a desire for the same sex doesn't mean that that desire is from God. You would say, well, I was born with this desire and I desire to be loved and loved. So how could I not have that fulfilled? And I would say, well, I don't know that that desire that you have for the same sex is from God. We have desire. I remember when I was a three-year-old boy, three or four, my first sip of alcohol, and it is ingrained in my mind and I became obsessed with it through my life. That's not a God-given desire. That's a sinful desire of mine. So just because you have a desire doesn't mean it's from the Lord. And just because you have a desire also doesn't mean that it will be fulfilled in this life. We have desires and longings in this world, but we were created for a different place with a different person where we will be forever with God, where all those desires are fulfilled in Him. You don't meet a godly desire in an ungodly way. Wes, anything you would add to that?
Yeah, I mean, we have a loving Father that wants His children to be kept from harm. And so not all desires He's going to allow us to have to be able to fulfill. And so, I mean, that's a good thing. You know, He's not ripping us off, you know, choosing our sin over our Savior. And it's like, again, you can't serve two masters. Being a Christian and living in the homosexual lifestyle don't connect, you know. And I would really encourage anyone to examine their heart, examine the playmates and the playgrounds that they're in today, but then more importantly, really examine their heart and ask the question, is God celebrating that lifestyle with you? And really answer that question honestly.
Did you feel conflicted?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. The third truth to tell, and most importantly, God loves you and the Bible is true. And its ways lead to life and peace. As Wes just said, you have a good Father who loves you. He's not trying to rip you off or keep you from the things that you desire, but rather to give you life and peace, contentment in all circumstances. And so ultimately, like, the issue of homosexuality is not even the issue, truly. Like, it's not even the issue, because we could sit up here and teach on all these different topical studies. And what I said tonight, that you can just plug in whatever your struggle is, and this talk will make sense to you, even though your struggle may not be homosexuality. You may not identify as that. And yet you can plug in alcohol, sex addiction, porn, insecurity, eating disorder, and it will all still apply, because God is good. And His ways lead to life and peace.
Amen.
We're just running to different functional saviors when He is the one true Savior. So ultimately and truly, the issue is not even homosexuality. This is a God issue between you, between us, and the Lord to decide and truly ask, is He good and will I follow Him according to His word? Because we have to decide if we're going to live for His glory or for our pleasure. And as Wes said, we can't serve two masters. Will we believe that He is good and His ways lead to life and peace? It's why Jesus came, to rescue us from the sin that has enslaved us. He came on a rescue mission from God, lived the perfect life that we could not live, died the death that we deserve, rose again, showing that He alone has victory over sin, death, and Satan. That whoever comes to Him with whatever struggle you have can have eternal life. And His promise of eternal life is not just when you die and the thereafter. It's for this life, this new life, this eternal life that you see in Wes and myself, that is, we've been set free from that hopelessness and depravity and addiction and slavery to sin. That He not just saved us once and from all from hell, but that He keeps us safe from returning back to those sins that we're both tempted by in various ways. And not just that, that He's our Lord as well. Jesus Christ, our Lord, from the passage we read earlier, that He's a good master. When I was master and Lord of my life, I ran my life into the ground. It was a fun ride, I thought, for a little bit, and then I tanked. He is a good Lord, and His ways lead to life and peace. Wes, any final words you'd
share?
Well,
I just wanted to say, you know, I remember 2 years ago, like I said, 2 years ago, next week, coming in here and sitting in that middle section right there, kind of feeling lost, feeling alone, feeling like I was... taking on more than I could possibly do on my own. And finding my Savior here, finding freedom, and really finding new life. And it took about 6 months, guys. I did not trust God when I walked in these doors. There was not like something I just walked in and all of a sudden I was free. I had to work at it. I had to continually be fed truth by my leaders, by friends, by community. But at the end of the day, I found Christ. I found Christ and I'm chasing him. And that is the key right there. It's not just trying to control the sin in your life. It's about turning from your sin and truly chasing Christ. And that's where it's all at. So last May is when I gave my will to Christ. And at that moment, my life has not been the same.
So let me understand that your goal was not to become heterosexual.
No.
That was not the goal.
No.
What was the goal?
My goal was to find freedom. Just freedom.
And you found it in Christ.
And I found it in Christ.
Ladies and gentlemen, for whatever your struggle is, I want you to look at Wes and remember that in less than 2 years, he was sitting wherever you may be, or whatever video you may be watching this from or online, and know that what Jesus did for Wes and myself, he will do for you. Mm. He came to set the captives free.
Amen.
Over every struggle, no one is beyond his reach. You are never too far gone, and he will make all things new. Wes, would you pray?
God, thank you for this night tonight, Lord. Thank you so much for the people that are here tonight. I ask, Lord, that there are people here that you have brought divinely to listen to this message, Lord. I pray for anybody that's hearing this message, Lord, that they will seek you and their hearts will be softened, Lord. They will have ears to hear and that their hearts will be opened, Lord. Lord, we all struggle with different things, Lord, and we are broken people. Mm-hmm. And God, we are all sinful and we are all have sinful natures, Lord. But we ask now, Lord, that you give us relief, that you give us freedom from our addictions, from our pain. And Lord, right now, I just ask that you be with everybody in this room now as they walk out of here and just seek you, Lord. Pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.